Accession number 20456, reel 22.
Brigadier Wilson, reel 22. You were saying that you just got the standard American rations with the occasional issue of British rations.
Yes.
Why was it that you were called to the Corps headquarters at Kunu Rai? Was it to get orders or
no? Well, I think the whole brigade group was concentrated round there as a sort of reserve. I think it was the only reserve corps had, because the 8th Cavalry were having it mucked up at Unsan. I forget what had happened to the 7th, and the 2nd Division, American 2nd Division, were just about to get well and truly knocked about. The Turks were somewhere in the middle. It was a most confused situation.
Did you ever see anything of the Turks while
yes.
they were there?
Yes.
How were they getting on?
They were bloody good. But, I mean, they were only a brigade on their own, you know. The trouble was that we were a road-bound army with transport. The Chinese weren't. Given a particular distance, the Chinese could infiltrate very well. But after a bit, they would outrun their supply, and therefore, they, you know, to that extent, we were more mobile. But the trouble was that they could get up the hills much easier than we could in those days.
What were they relying upon for their transport then, if they weren't
coolies.
Using motor?
Coolies, ordinary villagers with A-frames, which we did later on.
So this gave them a better tactical mobility at least?
Yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
Do you stay long at Kunu Rai, or was this a short
time? No, thank heavens. About 36 hours.
And what happened after that?
We were ordered to withdraw to another position about 25 miles south in order to take advantage of what I might call the Chinese immobility to pursue. We set off at 3 one afternoon, and we marched up this horrid pass until about 2 the next morning, when luckily we met some transport and took us on.
Well, was this the Yongwon Nai Pass?
That was it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was that like? What sort of gradients were you on, and what was the road like? Was it a
well,
paved road?
It was at night, you see.
Yes.
You know, you only had a feeling of it.
Mm.
It was clearly a it was pretty steep, with sort of bends and corners, the sort of road you would expect going up a hill. And that was the problem. For the next day, the American 2nd Division tried to come up it in trucks and were well and truly ambushed. And trucks went on fire, blocked the road, and you know, then the problem started. Except for one regiment, the 23rd Infantry, that didn't go down that way, that sidestepped and went down the way we'd originally come up. And they got away pretty well unscathed.
Were these roads properly surfaced roads? Were they tarmac?
Oh, yes, they were properly surfaced. Mm. Oh, yes. It was a main road.
When you were marching down this road, was this the entire brigade group moving?
Yes. Mm. We were in the front.
So you were the leading battalion, leading company?
We were leading battalion. Mm. We marched in proper tactical formation,
yes.
Sections outside of the road, spread out, been ready to
yes.
deploy.
Yes. So it wasn't a column of route then?
No. Yeah. Lord, no.
What sort of rate can you move if you're in tactical formation like that? How many miles per hour can you cover?
You can do, 4 miles an hour with a normal horse. That's the normal infantry pace.
Mm.
We didn't bother, for example, to put up scouts on either side.
I was going to ask about flank guards.
No, couldn't do that in the dark. It'd be hopeless. But at least the point about it was that one was in a tactical mission, and we could have deployed from there. And I think that was why we were left alone.
But you'd have been too difficult to actually ambush.
Well, I mean, we could have been ambushed, but it would have been... they might have bitten off more than they could have chewed. I don't know. Because there's no question about it, next morning, the regiments of 2nd Division got in the most appalling problems.
Do you believe that the Chinese were there then when you were passing through?
Yes, because as we came over the top of the pass, we passed through a little Korean hamlet in which there was a blazing jeep with a couple of dead American officers inside it. And we'd heard shooting before.
So there's somebody up there.
Someone's up there, yeah. Yeah.
What was your what were your orders then from when you'd gone over the pass? And
we went about 4 miles over the pass, and we were met by our second command, and there were a whole lot of trucks. And so in the trucks we went for a further 5 or 6 miles down to, again, a bivouac area in the middle of nowhere, where we stayed for 48 hours. The Middlesex, in the meantime, had stayed back to hold the top of the pass. And they saw the debacle the next day of
the 2nd Division
coming up and were able to help as much as they could. I mean, one saw the debacle coming driving down the road with sort of dead men in the trucks and blood running out of the scuppers, rather like a Nelson's picture of the Battle of Trafalgar, you know.
You went back down the road?
No, these were trucks coming down the road, yes. Yeah, yeah.
But did you go back over the pass?
No, we didn't.
No,
thank God, no.
What did you have for shelter in the bivouac area?
Nothing, just slit trenches.
So you were in slit trenches without any tentage or anything of that sort?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah. It was purely a holding position. I think we were there for 2 days. And then we were sent on a most extraordinary operation in the middle of nowhere, a sort of rearguard position to help the rest of the army get back into Pyongyang. And we had problems there because we didn't have enough maps. It really was quite something. We eventually had to withdraw over a frozen river.
Now, you mentioned in the memoir something called Task Force Harris. Was this part
that was
of
it?
That?
Yes. That was Task Force Harris.
What was Task Force Harris? What did it consist
Don't
of?
Ask me. I mean,
you were part of it.
This was part of this rearguard.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, for about 3 hours, I thought I was completely lost. I was no communication with anyone, off the map, you know, given directions as to where I should go, and we slithered down this dirty great hill. If someone had fallen and broken a leg, I don't know what we'd have done. And eventually, they ended up on the road was trying to be. This was battalion headquarters. That was about 2 a.m.
Sounds very confusing.
What?
It sounds very very confusing.
Well, I don't know if they knew what they were doing either. They'd lost another company. absolute chaos.
What sort of ground were you working over? You mentioned going over a hill.
This was tough stuff. This was real proper mountains.
Well, during this rear guard Were you in contact with the enemy? Were they following
up? Luckily, no. It was very interesting when going along the ridge of this hill, there were obviously traces of occupation. There were places where they did fires. There were places where they'd obviously cooked and so on, yes.
So you were behind the Chinese army?
Well, the Chinese army were very close indeed, yes.
Or had they cut across your route?
No, I don't know where they were. I think they'd begun to run out of steam, but they'd been there.
Did you know roughly what direction you were heading in while you were doing this? Were you going south?
No, I was actually in that particular thing, I was heading due east.
East?
Yes. if ever there was a bugger's bottle, I took part in that was it.
So how long were you in Task Force Harris? Did you have any...
Well, I suppose how long really... I don't quite know when we started to go in it. But for 72 hours, that operation went on. Mm. And then we got across the frozen river.
Do you know what river that was?
No.
Was it a substantial
obstacle? It wasn't one of the major rivers, but it was still, you know, 400 yards across.
For this withdrawal, were you on foot all the time, or were you in transport?
On foot.
Do you have any notion of what sort of distance you covered? Sorry.
Well, all I know is that we started out one afternoon and the next afternoon we went up the hill, spent another afternoon up the hills. Night coming down, marched all that night, marched all of the next day. I mean, we had about 72 hours on our feet in very tough country.
Was it all tactical movement?
Which?
Was it all tactical movement?
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yes. No roads. Mm. Hill paths only.
You said that you thought you had a risk of losing someone to the terrain, someone breaking a leg. Did you have any casualties?
No. Had we had any, I simply don't know what we'd have done. Mm. How we'd have got them down, I don't know.
What happened then after this rather chaotic?
Well, then we found some trucks, got into another rest area where we sort of cleaned up a bit, got ourselves reorganized, married up with our own transport, and then we were told, we're going back through Pyongyang all the way south. Into the trucks we got. And for the first time, we saw 29 Brigade, who were in Pyongyang.
Your first sight of British troops?
That was the first sight of other British troops, yes. And that was, sorry, I had this battered Land Rover. We had no tactical signs or anything on it. And both my signalers happened to be Gaelic speakers. They were sort of nattering away the back. And I saw a young Ulster rifleman, very smart, by the side of the road, and stopped and said, you know, on the left, and get inside. Got inside. And, we were wearing no sort of known badges of rank or anything by then. And the Gaelic speaker was speaking absolutely floored him. And he turned round to me and he said, say, are you the Turks? I think we rather looked like them. But no, it was very interesting. I mean, we really did like a load of tramps, you know. Because of the vagaries of uniform, American, you would say, partly, some bits of British sticking out here and there, and absolutely filthy dirty.
But you had been in the field for some time,
oh, yes,
you?
We had.
For some weeks you'd been...
Weeks, actually. You say, that's it. Mm. Oh, yes. Mm. You know, we looked like old tramps. Mm.
But you had British weapons, didn't you?
Totally British weapons.
So presumably he might have hit upon the fact that you were...
Well, yes, totally British weapons. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Did you see anything else of 29th?
No, that was about the only time we really saw them. Mm. Then they, one of their nice tanks threw a track in the middle of the river in Pyongyang, had to be abandoned and blown up. The brand new Centurion, which of course caused frightful panic because they didn't want the Chinese to get it. The Chinese did.
What about the journey south in trucks? Was this a?
That was normal. We drove on. And we drove south over the parallel to a place called Weetongbu, which is just north of Seoul.
What was that? What sort of place was that? Was that a...
Weetongbu was quite a large town, in its way, and of course a very large town now. It was a railway junction north of about 10 miles north of Seoul. And the brigade was put in a position in reserve but defending Weetongbu. And there we stayed for about 2 weeks till the new year.
Were you able to get yourselves sorted out and re-equipped? And
Yes. We had a lot of sorting out, a lot of re-equipment, you know. And one was able to eat properly again.
What sort of things were you in need of when you got there that you had to replace?
Well, boots, for example, socks, clothing, all sorts of things. I mean, for the first time, they produced a bath unit. That really was all the fun.
And you said you were able to eat properly again.
What
could you get at Weetongbu that you hadn't been able to get earlier?
Oh, I got proper supplies of beer and whiskey and things, yes. And we could set up an officer's mess, a soldier's mess, for example.
Were you living in the town itself?
No. We were living on the hills round, but in tents and reinforced huts with sort of naked iron stairs and things in them.
Had you got defensive positions prepared to occupy?
Yes, very much so, which we manned.
Were they manned permanently or were they just manned?
No, you had sentries by day and the odd sentry by night. I mean, most of the people were able to sleep in tents,
Having had a very strenuous few weeks, presumably you needed a bit of time to sleep properly, eat properly, recover. How long did it take you before you were really fully fit and ready to go again?
Oh, I think one was fully fit. Ready to go is a different one. Lack of sleep is the thing that gets you down.
Yes.
I mean, I would have thought a week, you know, but we had more than that.
So after a week you'd recovered and fit to go back into the...
We got the old active role. Fresh face in, you know, in the way of drafts and things,
Mentioning drafts, have you got any idea what sort of numbers you had to absorb of new men turning up on draft?
The first lot came after 282, which was quite a big one.
Yes.
About five officers and something like 100 jocks. After that, they came in dribs and drabs, back from hospital, back from the reinforcement camps.
But when you were at Weetongbu, did you get any new men in your company?
I can't remember. Yes, I think we did. I mean, they fitted in.
They settled in all right?
Yes. These weren't raw recruits straight out from home. These were trained soldiers, you know. Yeah.
Were they mainly regulars or were they...
No, I mean, most of them were national service, but, you know, they were national service of some seniority.
Were you able to get any sort of recreation at Weetongbu? Was there anything you could do off duty?
I think we had the odd football. I think it was a football ground in the school. I think there was the odd football there. But that was about it, nothing much else.
Was anything going on in the vicinity while you were there in a military sense?
No, because the Chinese had sort of we come back a long way, and it had taken the Chinese a long way to get their supplies forward again.
So you'd outrun them by withdrawing rapidly.
Yeah, that was it. And it wasn't until the 31st of December that they started off again to get into Seoul.
Mm. Now you mentioned that on 27th, General Ridgway took over the...
That's it, yes.
The Commander of 8th Army.
Walker was killed, yes. Walker was killed in our sector, actually.
What, at Wee Jong Bu?
Yes, at Wee Jong Bu.
What happened to him? It seems like very
bad driving. A big American truck went into his Jeep and killed him.
What sort of chap was he? Had you seen anything of him? Got an impression of
Walker?
Him? Yes, Walker.
He was a... rather typical, tough American armored general, you know. He was one of the, what I call, barrel on down the road type, you know. You did it by spearheads, and you bypassed the enemy and hoped to clean him up afterwards. Ridgway was quite different. Ridgway was an infantryman. The moment Ridgway arrived, he said, right, boys, this is not the way to fight the Korean War. You get up the hills. So we recruited vast numbers of Korean porters and things, and we, after we were driven out of Seoul, we reorganized ourselves to really take to the hills.
Did you find Ridgway's ideas more congenial than
Walker's
ideas?
Oh, yes. Ridgway was a tremendous soldier. He got it. I think, you see, Walker was one of these guys who had been in the French campaigns where, you know, you had American columns and tank columns tearing down the bloody roads, you know, and Germans surrendering in the field were rather like the Germans in Russia in some ways. But Ridgway was much slower. We were very, very slowly. There wasn't a hill we very well didn't climb up from one coast of Korea to the other.
Do you think this might have something to do with the temperament of the different arms, that the armoured soldier thinks in terms of pushing deep into the enemy position?
Well, it was part of the great Fuller doctrine, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know...
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas the infantry soldier thinks more in terms of actually dominating and controlling
ground.
The ground.
Yes, you're quite right. Yeah.
But Ridgway had been a parachutist, hadn't he? He was airborne.
Ridgway was a very distinguished parachutist, yes.
Did he actually come and see you?
Yes.
Did he say anything?
He was just a very nice guy, you know. Nothing very special.
And you also mentioned that when the Chinese resumed their offensive in December, they were commanded by Peng Tehuai. Did you know about the Chinese command structure at that time?
No.
The personalities
no,
in
no,
it?
No, no.
That's something you learned later on.
Well, no, later on,
Yes. What? How did you first become aware, then, of the Chinese, the new Chinese offensive? What happened to...
Well, we, 31st of January, just as we were celebrating New Year, we were suddenly told to pack up and get up the road.
Yes.
Because the Chinese were coming down at high speed.
Yes.
And attacking 6th Rock Division. And so, much to our regret, we left our slightly comfortable camp at Wee Jong Bu.
Must have been a wrench to leave the comfort behind.
Yeah, it was a wrench, I tell you, even if it's bloody cold. And sure enough, we came across this South Korean division that was in rags and tatters. And the Australians, ourselves, and the Middlesex sort of plugged the gap, as it were. And, you know, were able to... I mean, the Chinese were literally sort of 30 yards behind them coming down the
road. Well, the Koreans were retreating down the road.
Yes, the Chinese chasing them down the road, yes.
How did you manage to stop the Chinese on that occasion? What did
you shot at them anyway. They realised that there was no question of just barreling down the road after some demoralised Koreans.
Where did this happen? Where did you
actually... north of Weizhongbu, I forget where.
And what sort of ground was that?
Well, it was hilly, but not very hilly. I mean, you had the big north fort behind you. This was not it was fairly flat agricultural ground, yeah.
And when you first met the Chinese, how were you formed in your company? Oh,
well, we were in defensive positions on ridges, you know.
So you got into position.
Oh yes, we got in position.
How long did you actually have to get yourself dug in and prepared before the Koreans came?
About a morning.
Was that long enough to get comfortably settled in?
Long enough for what we wanted to do, yes. We were never going to stay there. I mean, we were, because the strategic idea to abandon Seoul had been long thought out, yes.
So what was the idea? Was it just to give a...
To give a breather to take up defences in Seoul.
Yeah. Well, how had you got your positions laid out on the on this?
Well, they were just sort of positions holding the ridge, as it were. Mm. Yeah.
So you arrived. You had a morning to dig in and get set up. Did you have any support, artillery or armoured support available?
Not that I remember.
Were you actually covering a road or a path through?
We were covering the main road from north to south into Seoul, yes. Yeah. From what we now know as Panmunjom. Mm.
And so I'm trying to get an impression of this. You were dug in, looking forward. What could you see looking forward?
First of all, you could see this mass of disorganized Korean infantry, you know, coming across the countryside and down the road. And in the distance, you could see some other different soldiers advancing. Mm. And you waited till the Koreans were past or less than, and then they opened fire on the fairly long range, these others who stopped. Mm.
Were the Chinese in any particular formation when
nothing really, nothing out of the ordinary.
Were they all on foot, or were there?
They were on foot. Mm. No tanks.
How did they react when?
Very interesting. They stopped. They didn't seem to want to sort of engage us very closely.
What did they do? They
went to ground, and I think they tried to outflank us, but by which time we'd withdrawn. We withdrew at night into Seoul.
What condition was Seoul in when you went into it?
Well, it had recovered a bit from when we first saw it, but not much. I had a small sector to run, covering one of the bridges. I was one of the last companies over the bridge. Another company was way down 12 miles away, another bridge. It was a pretty shocking state, yes.
Mm-hmm. Were you actually in the town centre then?
Towards the south of the town, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did the Chinese try and press in on your positions?
Yes, they did. Mostly taken up by the Australians, but we had one or two shots at them, yes. Mm. I mean, we blew the bridges just in time. Mm. Yeah.
Who actually did that blowing? Was it American engineers?
Mm. We had no bridges. Well, 29 Brigade had engineers with them, but 29 Brigade weren't there. Mm.
Did they do a good job on that demolition?
Oh, Lord, yes. Mm. Oh, yes, very good.
How close did the Chinese actually get before the bridges went up?
I wouldn't know. I was over by then. Mm. I mean, fairly close. I mean, they must have been within about a mile on them.
Mm. So they weren't actually within...
Oh, no, they were not shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I mean, what were your positions like in the town? Were you in buildings?
Oh, well, we were in houses.